This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. My co-host Anthony Brooks is out this week. Included in the flurry of lawmaking activity that marked the end of the most recent legislative session was this bill. It was called an Act Further Regulating Animal Control. And buried in that bill, this one line: no city or town shall regulate dogs in a manner that is specific to breed. Well, why does that matter? Because when Governor Deval Patrick signed the amendment to the Animal Control Act earlier this month, and when the act goes into effect in November, it will negate a 2004 Boston City ordinance regarding pit bulls. That rule required pit bull owners to muzzle their dogs, keep a cautionary sign on their property, and apply for a special license. Supporters of the now undermined city ordinance say that there's a safety issue at stake here, while animal rights advocates say that no city or town should have any breed-specific rules to begin with. So, listeners, what do you think? Are you a pit bull owner or pit bull lover, dog owner, dog lover? Do you think there should or shouldn't be breed-specific rules when it comes to how we regulate dog and dog ownership? Have you had a dangerous run-in with that breed or any breed? Or do you think the real problem here is owners and not the dogs themselves? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And joining us now is City Councilor Rob Consalvo. He serves Hyde Park, Roslindale, Mattapan, and Reedville, and he authored Boston's 2004 Pit Bull Ordinance. Councilor Consalvo, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. Also with us today is Kara Holmquist, Director of Advocacy at the Massachusetts Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Kara Holmquist, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, Councillor Consalvo, let's just start with you and ask you, why is it that you felt the need in 2004 to write breed-specific regulations in Boston regarding pit bulls?
Well, we had a number of incidents, high-profile incidents, which really was the icing on the cake for why we needed to do this. We looked at the statistics in the city of Boston, and the statistics overwhelmingly show that, yes, while all dogs do bite, and we recognize that, they do not bite with the same frequency nor the same severity as pit bulls do. And we heard loud and clear from countless community groups, constituents that we represent, taxpayers, that they felt something needed to be done for that specific breed. Again, recognizing that all dogs bite, but the numbers, the totality of numbers, since 2008, we've had 226 people bitten or attacked in the city of Boston by pit bulls.
So does this action on Beacon Hill then effectively, does it totally undermine that city ordinance? And if so, do you feel compelled to do anything about it?
Well, it absolutely does. Effective November 1st, we will no longer have the ordinance, and the city is now preparing to deal with that fact that we won't have the ordinance. I'm concerned because I think there'll be a real public safety issue. I'm also concerned because I have a problem with the fact that the legislature acted in a way telling us what we need to do in the city of Boston. We worked with our animal control and police. We as local elected officials know what's best for the city, and we have a huge issue with the fact that we were told this is what's going to happen. So we're looking at every option available come November.
Kara Holmquist, my guess is that you see the legislature's action as a win for pit bull owners or dog owners.
Well, yeah, so, and I think it's a win for public safety, too. This bill is very comprehensive. It will require mandatory training for animal control officers and put in place a lot of other provisions that aren't being talked about right now as much, reducing the homeless animal population, do a lot of things that will impact residents, our communities, protect public safety, and save city and towns money at the same time.
Well, so let me ask you a question about the breed-specific issue
here,
because, I mean, that's what that line in the legislation really drew people's attention. I mean, do you think there should or shouldn't be any breed-specific legislation regarding pit bulls? You've heard Councillor Consalvo say that he feels that they are a uniquely dangerous breed.
I know, and you know, we both agree, and we've talked about this before, that, you know, we both have the same goals. I mean, we both want to prevent dog bites, and we have that similarity. Where we disagree is about how to do that. And, you know, it's not just the MSPCA that feels this way. Organizations across the country and across the state, veterinary associations, animal control associations, the American Bar Association just put out something, the CDC, all agree that these breed-specific ordinances are problematic and aren't effective. And we really think that, and the data bears this out, that having laws that focus on all breeds of dogs are the most effective, and that targeting certain dogs just because of the way that they look is not effective and is not an efficient way to prevent dog bites.
Councillor Consalvo, your response to that?
Well, we're not targeting the dog because of the way they look. We're targeting the dog because of the actions that they take in the neighborhood. And so going out to community groups, neighborhood associations, and Crime Watch, we're not hearing day after day issues related to Chihuahuas, German Shepherds, Poodles. Every time we hear an issue, or 90% of the time we hear an issue, it's related to pit bulls. And part of the issue is that having a law that puts a broad stroke in almost treating every city and town equally is not fair in this instance, because Boston is unique as a dense urban city with the highest population of any city in the state. We face different issues as it relates to dogs and animals and pit bulls than, say, a Wellesley or a Lancaster or a Plymouth or a Centerville. So we need special laws tailored to the uniqueness of being a dense urban city.
Let's take a quick call here. Heather's calling from Waltham. You're on the air, Heather.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. What's your thought today?
I know that you guys were talking about, you know, public safety, and that's obviously a concern to everyone. However, I think the way that you want to define public safety is pretty important here, because, you know, they say, oh, pit bulls are the ones that are aggressive and they have the most incidents of attacking or biting or whatever. But, you know, they also do awesome things. Like, you know, for instance, I don't know if anybody has heard of Willie the Hero Pit Bull. But she saved her owner off the train tracks. She saved her mother, like, and she got hit by a train. You know, like, nobody really looks at that and takes that kind of stuff into consideration. You know, it's just, that's public safety right there. If it weren't for my dog, I wouldn't be here, and she's a Doberman.
Heather, thank you so much for your call. I hear what you have to say. We've also heard from listeners through social media who have a slightly different perspective as well. One of our Facebook fans, Jennifer Fahey, wrote about her experience with her neighbor's pit bull, and her dog was attacked by that pit bull twice. And Jennifer Fahey told us that she says she does not believe all pit bulls are bad. It's all about the owner. But with the breed, these are her words, that has such a high incidence of attack, I do not think Boston's ordinance is, quote, dog racism. I believe it's a way to manage risk and weed out owners who are not responsible. So, Carol Holmquist, let me get your response to that, that it is one way to get to the ultimate problem, which may be irresponsible owners.
Well, I certainly do agree that, you know, we do need to focus on owners and to make sure that owners are responsible and enact programs to do that. In response to what the counselor said, you know, if we're getting that many complaints still about pit bulls and the law has been in place for 8 years, I don't feel convinced with that information that this is something that is working. And I don't think there's been any data to show that this ordinance is making a difference to prevent dog bites. And I think that that's what we talked about certainly in 2004, and that was the goal. And I don't think that is happening.
Well, let me get, we've just got a couple minutes to go, so let me get a response from the counselor.
Well, I think there's two points to that. First off, I think it shows the enormous problem we have with pit bulls in the city of Boston, and because of the unique dense urban area we live in, the fact that we're a city, we have an enormous overpopulation of pit bulls in the city. We have literally hundreds of pit bulls, so we're dealing with, it's a size issue, which is why maybe there's not data to show numbers have gone down, because it's a constant and ongoing management issue that the police and animal control have to do. 832 pit bulls since 2010 have been dropped off, impounded, or secured by our animal control headquarters in Roslindale. 40% of every dog dropped off in the city of Boston is a pit bull. That shows that the numbers are just so high that it's a constant issue for our animal control and police to have to deal with. And I would just say one other piece is that the ordinance is a tool, right? So the police and animal control didn't really have a tool specific to dealing with that issue and to be able to manage that issue and to be able to identify that issue. We also heard from some folks that this has been a beneficial tool for pit bulls because, and I've tried to make that clear to folks, that this is an anti-dog ordinance. This ordinance has given police new powers to rescue 10, 20 pit bulls that have been housed in a basement and are malnourished and living in feces. And
I just say that there's no reason that a strong breed-neutral law could not have the same effect.
What shape would that law take? What shape would you like to see it take? In a couple seconds.
Sure, sorry. A dangerous dog, a fair objective definition, a due process, a hearing process to determine whether that dog is dangerous, and a list of parameters that the city can take to make sure that that dog never bites, whether it's muzzling, confinement, spaying or neutering, behavior your training. I mean, we can't look at just one single vector breed and think that that is going to answer this problem, that dog bites are a very complicated issue, and looking at all of these factors is very important.
I'm going to have to stop you there because we're basically almost out of time, but in 5 or 6 seconds, Counselor, if you can respond, I mean, would you be willing to create new legislation that expands to all dogs in Boston?
I think given that the law's expiring on November 1st, we're happy to do it, but I think even if we do that, you'll find that it's going to be pit bulls 90% of the time we deal with.
Councillor Rob Consalvo is the city councillor for Hyde Park, Mattapan, Roslindale, and Reedville. Thank you so much for joining us today. And Kara Holmquist, Director of Advocacy at the Massachusetts Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, thank you as well. And listeners, there were a lot of you who wanted to join this conversation. It's something that matters to a lot of people, so give us your comments at radioboston.org. And before we wrap up today, I want to share one last thought with everyone, because today we say goodbye to our producer and director, Dan Mozzi. He's headed off to a new job, and you know Dan's work. He's produced some of our most provocative call-in segments and some of our most moving radio series. He was the mind and heart behind Radio Boston's whimsical audio postcards that we broadcast on the 100th anniversary of Fenway Park. And it was Dan, too, who reached out to family members of 9/11 victims and traveled around the state to listen in to the sounds of the places special to those survivors. Dan is elegant, compassionate, and very intelligent. In other words, he is a true, true gentleman, and we will miss his presence here at Radio Boston very much. So that's the bad news. But the good news is that he's not leaving WBUR. Dan will soon be the new senior producer at Morning Edition with Bob Oakes, and he's telling me right now I've got to hurry up and wrap this up, Dan. So thank you for everything. We'll miss you a lot at Radio Boston, but we wish you the very best. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Everybody have a fantastic weekend, and join us next week for more Radio Boston.